What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Abraham Lincoln said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." Welcome in. This is Religionless Christianity. I'm your host, Spencer. This is my lovely wife, Nikki.
Hello.
And before we dive into this topic, baby, is there anything you would like to say?
Pray for Spencer. He can't even drink his coffee because he hurt his wrist at work.
It sounds so late when you say that. I heard it fighting at work, so it was more manly.
Okay, sorry.
Yes. So not only did I fight, but I was the king. The man whooped all those little... I've talked to you guys in the past about, you know, out PTing a lot of those young whippersnapper that I work with. And now I got a chance to do a little bit of hand-to-hand, not really hand-to-hand, more like jujitsu. But I worked them over in that too, so.
Are they injured?
No. No, they came and asked me, the instructors, they're like, "So Toshi, you gonna like win today too?" I was like, "No, day two is a young man's game." I was like, "This is a war of attrition right now, and I'm breaking down pretty quickly." So, but that's all right. My wrist will be better. But yeah, please pray for me. And pray for me also, you know, if I'm obviously mentioned before, I'm in the military, and, you know, the military is subject to the national leadership in this country. And, my job that I've been training for the last, you know, however long it's been, it's kind of in flux. Looks like it might be kind of getting chopped, and we may have to find something new to do. So praise God, he's prepared us well for change. We handle it pretty well. Our kids, you know,
don't complain too much.
I mean, I don't know any other kids in the country that have lived in as many different places as our kids have. So praise God, they handle it well too, but it's still, you know, it's difficult and time consuming and, you know, all that sort of stuff to move and do whatever you do to get there. So just pray for us that it'll all work out as God would will it to, because
yeah,
we don't really care where we are as long as it's where God wants us. And as long as we can keep bringing these podcasts to you guys, that's what we care about. And yeah, so pray for us. And anything else? I don't really have anything else.
No.
So today, I mean, as you saw, we kind of titled this Render Unto Caesar. And if you read in Matthew, well, I'll pull it from Mark. It's in Matthew and Mark. But in Mark 12, chapter 12, verses 13 through 17, honey, if you want to read that.
And they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." And they brought one. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Jesus said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him.
Don't you just love reading Jesus's words? Because it's always like, and obviously, I mean, that's the way it's written, but they think they got him. Oh, we got Jesus back into a corner. It's just always like such an effortless. Yeah, well, sure, bring me a coin. Well, it looks like that's Caesar's face. And they're like, "Oh my God, I can't believe," like every time. Like,
why didn't we ever think of that?
I love it. And I thought about this just kind of a side note when we do our daily sort of TikTok devotionals, and I sort of moved out of Genesis and I moved into Matthew. Just started going through Matthew, and I was like, man, you know, the Old Testament obviously is great, right? Nothing wrong with it. And you have the prophets and they're speaking on the Lord's behalf and stuff like that, and or on God's behalf. And it's great. And you hear, but like, I was just thinking about reading through Matthew and you're like, you're not hearing a prophet tell you what God said. Like, you're quite literally opening the book and reading God speaking words to natural men. Like, yeah. This right
here.
They
don't even know it.
They don't even know it, but we have it. Like, you can just open it up on any given day and be like, I wonder what the God of all creation has to say. Like, oh, there's the red letters. This isn't what a prophet is telling you God spoke. This is God literally speaking and it being written down. And It's just amazing. You know, hopefully, and I pray we'll always marvel at that and never sort of grow tired of, you know, having God's word so readily accessible. But I just thought that was kind of cool. So, yep. Verse 17, right? He says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's."
People usually forget about that last part. They just talk about Caesar, but what things are God's?
Right. And that's what we're going to get into in this episode. And, you know, as I was kind of thinking about this and what kind of led me into it, because, you know, obviously as the world's gotten more crazy and, you know, our government has gotten more restrictive and all the states and everything, you know, I've kind of had that feeling that like this thought of render unto Caesar, that's like the weak-kneed Christian's call to surrender. It's just like, well, you know, render unto Caesar, you know, just give up. If Caesar says it, just give it, you know, rather than being like, who is Caesar? And that was kind of what got us started on this. Who is Caesar in this country? And, you know, the thing is, in this country, like, we get so tied up in our politicians and governors and Congress, senators, presidents. But in this country, the Constitution is Caesar. You know, it doesn't matter who's the president. The Constitution is Caesar. And I think we need to remind ourselves of that at times. And I know obviously America does, because we get so caught up in who's running for president, who's going to be, you know, a senator and all these sorts of things. And we put all our hope and our trust in these people when their job is quite literally to uphold basically Caesar, the Constitution.
Right.
So it really shouldn't.
It's for the people.
Yeah, so it shouldn't really matter, you know, if they were actually doing the job they were being elected to do. But this verse also, you know, it ties in, or it's pretty closely associated with Romans 13:1. You hear this a lot. In Romans 13:1, if you want to read that, honey.
Okay. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God."
Yeah, you hear
so
this.
So what's our authority?
Yeah, and this is something you've heard a lot in the last 2 years, right? With coronavirus and stuff, you know, when governments start locking stuff down and you have to get vaccines and mandates are rolling out and mask mandates. And they're like, well, you know, you gotta, you know, be subject to the governing authorities and, you know, all these sorts of things. And again, in my mind, at least, that ties back into the whole rendering unto Caesar, right? Like, and that's why I just wanted to make this episode and say that and remind everyone that in this country, your governor, your politician, your president, that's not Caesar.
Right.
The Constitution is Caesar in this country.
Yeah. And we get too caught up in the, whether our politician, well, Christians do, are they Christian? What's their past like? You know, Trump, he's so crude. What does it matter if he's upholding the Constitution? What he does in his free time, I don't care. Is he upholding the Constitution?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's definitely, you know, if you had the option to elect George Washington again, of course, that's the best, you know, a godly man who upholds the Constitution, right? Like, that's the best thing. But as we've talked about before, when you're electing a president, you're electing a president, not a pastor.
Right.
You know, it's a very different office. The requirements are very different. And if a president is doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, it really shouldn't make that big of a difference, because their job is to uphold the Constitution. And I pulled my little pocket Constitution here, just so it's not me speaking it, but this is the oath of office that the president takes. And it says, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter, so help me God. And just to kind of clarify that, the faithfully discharging the duties of the office that he's about to enter, those also are laid out in the Constitution, our country's Caesar. So it's not like he's just making up the duties of his office. They're defined there. So again, that's why when we have talked about Donald Trump, it's like, yeah, it'd be great if he could be more, well, you know, refined and more godlike or Christlike and more, you know, whatever it happens to be. But again, that's not his job. His job is to be the president and to uphold the Constitution.
Right. We pray for him, though.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's perfect. And if you are up there, you would probably look worse of the things that they would bring out about you. Honestly, it's the garbage that they dig up.
Yeah. I mean, and if that was the case, if your president was actually just doing the job, the oath that he took, it largely wouldn't really matter if he was a Christian, a non-Christian, even, you know, very secular and atheist, right? Because he's just doing the duties that are prescribed to him in the Constitution. So,
like, they take an oath to God, but does it matter if they mean it or not? Is it just the words?
Oh, I mean, at this point, yeah, it's quite literally just...
Because you don't have to be a Christian. They always say it usually, so I'm a Catholic, I guess, but...
Well, no, I think the big thing with Biden was he was only technically the second Catholic.
Oh, was he?
If you want to call him a Catholic, him and JFK. So, but I pulled this from my... Patriots Bible, which is a great little gift for anybody in your life that loves the Lord and loves the founding of this nation. But in this, it says, the Constitution provides the framework for the organization of the United States government, outlining the three main branches of the government, the legislative, executive, and then the judicial. But it says the Constitution carefully outlines the limits of delegated powers each branch may exercise. It also reserves numerous rights for the individual states and thus establishes the United States federal system of government. So again, there, it's telling you the United States Constitution sets the framework and basically gives the left-right limits of what our elected politicians are allowed to do and what each form of government or each branch of government is technically supposed to do. So again, the Constitution is Caesar, not the person who's filling the office outlined in the Constitution. And I think that that's important to remember, especially when these, you know, godless Antichrist politicians start, you know, tightening the screws on us and trying to take away more of our freedoms, more of our liberties and stuff like that. It only works when we let them.
They try to do it in the name of, you know, life, you know, especially with the vaccine, and in the name of love, loving your neighbor. So it's not that they're just doing it.
Yeah.
They're saying you have to do it, but they're using certain words and trying to make it fit.
Oh, of course. And yeah, somehow you're only really loving your neighbor when you're basically giving up more of your freedom to the government.
Well, love is above all, you know?
Yeah. Nothing like a bunch of Antichrist, satanic politicians telling you to love somebody. So yeah. It's pretty rich.
Yeah.
But another thing that we always kind of hear, and I just wanted to point this out because I think it gets glossed over a lot. You know, we constantly hear a lot, especially from politicians, you know, about America, we're a democracy, democracy, democracy. You hear it all the time. And that always bothers me because in a way, yes, we're a democracy, but we're not a democracy. We're a democratic republic, which is vastly different because a democracy is just mob rule, right? If you get 51% to agree with you, you do what you want. But as a republic, you know, we basically elect people to represent us, and then they go and, again, adhering to the Constitution, you know, they enact laws and basically keep the country running on our behalf so that we don't essentially have to take, because in a democracy, you would literally take everything to a vote. Hey, do we want a new trade deal with China? Let's pass it out to the people. And like, oh, 49% said yes. Darn it, I guess we can't do it.
Right.
We, you know, elect people to go and handle that for us so that we're not just completely saddled. But again, those people are to work inside the framework of the Constitution. The Constitution, again, is that boss, not the elected representative. I just want to make that point clear because, you know, we just, man, we are so far removed from that idea. Like, we have politicians, senators, and congressmen that have been there for 30, 40 years. Like, that's not an elected representative anymore. That's a royal, that's a royal class of person that they've literally, and this kills me. The idea of a politician as a career. Like, think about that. If you're sitting in school and you're like, hey, what are you going to study in school? And they're like, oh, you know, I want to be a chemist, so I'm going to do chemistry as my major. And they're like, wow, that sounds fascinating. You're going to, I mean, granted, nobody talks like that because conversation is dead in America. But, you know, if your friend was like, oh, really? I'm going to study how to be a leader of this nation. And you're like, what? Is that a career field? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to be in charge of your nation and make all the important decisions. You're like, oh, I'm going to be a gym teacher. Like, you just go like these people literally, and I'm kind of getting sidetracked, but the idea of being a politician, to be a royal class of person, like a 30-year senator, you literally do nothing. These people get paid a fortune.
Yeah.
They insider trade. They get treated like royalty, and they literally vote. That's their job. They don't write laws anymore. We have think tanks.
Can I get paid to vote?
Yeah, they literally just sit there and they go, oh, what's the new bill that you just wrote? Like, our think tank just gave us this bill. And they're like, what's it on? Oh, it's a spending bill. And they're like, oh, okay. Is the Democrat Party voting yay or nay? Oh, we're nay on this one. Oh, okay. Nay. That's their job, quite literally. And then they go on the news media and puff themselves up. It's insane that that's a... If your politician has been in Washington or any house of your leadership for more than 10 years, vote them out. No matter how constitutional, how liberal, how whatever. If they've been there for more than 10 years,
they don't need to be
get
that long.
Them out. That is
it
not...
It doesn't feel... It wouldn't feel right if it was you there. You'd know why. Why am I here so long?
Yeah, like George Washington literally had the opportunity to become king of America. It was like, eh, I'll do 4 years. I'm good. You know, But these people, like, oh, I'll just be a senator for 40 years until I'm a Supreme Court justice. They're dang near sitting up there with dementia on dialysis. And we think, like, that's the right person to judge on our laws. Like, it's nuts. Yeah, so the Constitution, that is Caesar. That is the boss in this country. We have to remember that. And we've talked about this idea before that America is a thing. Like, we think that because it's the land of the free, that it's just whatever we make it. It's whatever we want it to be is America, right? Like, you know, you can take capitalism and exchange it for communism. You can take freedom of religion and you can turn that into freedom from religion. You know, you can do our right to privacy and we can give all that away for security. You can do all these things and, hey, it's still America. But that's not the case. Like, at some point you change it so much that it ceases to be the thing that it was originally. And I think that's where we're finding ourselves in America.
It means something to be called America.
Yeah. And like today, I mean, we still have the Constitution, right? It's probably still hanging on a wall somewhere in some museum. And it's drug out whenever a politician needs to drum up a few votes. But the idea that they're actually, like, you know, writing their laws that they're going to pass or the bills they're going to, you know, bring up to Congress, that they're like consulting the Constitution on that is nonsense anymore.
Everything needs to be read through the Constitution.
It shouldn't be the Constitution is Caesar in this country.
Needs to go through that.
And what's so sad is, like, we've elected, you know, these people who no longer care about the Constitution, and we've allowed them to not care about it. And we've decided to make elected representatives who should be subject to the Constitution. We've made them Caesar over Caesar somehow, which is bizarre. And then we've just decided to give everything over to these new Caesars. We give them our security. We give them our health. We give them our children. We give them our churches. I mean, we give them our hopes and our dreams, our fears. We give everything to Caesar. And not the real Caesar, these artificial fake Caesars.
Do those things belong to Caesar? Like, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Those are not Caesar's.
Those are God's things.
Yes.
Our health, our security, our children, our churches, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, those are all God's. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, if you want to talk about raising taxes to pay for a road, sure, okay. Give it to Caesar. Yeah. But the idea that, like, you know, we see in states like New York State and California and stuff, like, oh, if your kids want an education and they're 5 years old, they need a vaccine with a vaccine card. And we're just like, oh, but what if the kid doesn't get an education? And then what will I do? Instead of being like, nope, God gave me these children to take care of. And if he gave them to me, he'll provide for them.
Yep.
Nope, we're just like, okay, governor, like you said it.
You know best.
It's just insane.
It's sad.
And then again, and we've mentioned this point before, to make matters even worse is we've elected, obviously, like we said, these people to be Caesar over Caesar somehow, but we elect the most ungodly, antichrist, basically satanic people to be in charge so that they can oppress us further. And then we can, like, cry out for it. And then another, you know, worthless politician walks up and is like, well, I won't oppress you in the same way that they did. I'll oppress you differently. And we're like, yay, thank you for new oppression. Like, it's just, it's insane, you know, and they never loosen the reins. They never give it back. It's just always taking from us, giving to themselves. This is why you see vaccine mandates, mask mandates, and they never adhere to it, right?
Nope.
Congress doesn't have a vaccine mandate. You see all these worthless politicians going to their, you know, balls and their galas and their big outings. None of them have masks on, right? Because they're the royalty. We're the serfs. They're the royals. And the rules that they enact aren't for them, right? That's the whole, you know, socialism's for the people, not the socialist sort of mentality. So it's just awful.
It is awful.
And then in that same vein, where Caesar, right, is the Constitution in this country, what's even more important is that that Constitution wasn't just written down on a sheet of paper out of thin air. that constitution in this country was given to us by God. And our earliest founding fathers understood that. And they even went so far as to make covenants with God on this. So we pulled a couple of different little quotes. I was just looking because I knew America had made covenants. And I was just trying to find a way to find what these covenants were. And I just pulled a couple of them from this website. It'll be linked down in the show notes. But if you want to read that first quote there, honey.
America's covenant with God. It says, during their journey across the Atlantic, Winthrop formulated a sermon entitled A Model of Christian Charity. In it, he exhorted his fellow pilgrims that the eyes of the world are upon us and that God would have them in their new home to be that city on a hill of which Jesus spoke, a shining light exhibiting a model of Christian living for the rest of mankind to see.
Yeah.
I believe that. I do.
And it absolutely was. I mean, this country was that model. Yeah. It was that light on the hill. And, you know, you saw the pilgrims coming here, our founding fathers and stuff coming from Europe. And they had this idea that this was going to be a new land and they dedicated it to God. And they were Christian men and women who lived very in close, you know, relationship with God. They were very faithful people. And something, sorry, off topic, that drives me nuts is hearing people that like, oh, the founding fathers were secular or they weren't Christians. And that drives me nuts. Like, I just feel like you could probably take the most secular founding father you could think of. And I would bet anything I had that they're probably more Christ-like and Christian than 90% of the so-called Christians in this country today. Like the idea that they're like, oh, Benjamin Franklin didn't believe in God. Like, oh, but we're the ones that are going to be like, he didn't hold Christianity right. The way I do, you know, when I'm, you know, just got back from an abortion clinic and wearing my bikini and getting hammered at the bar and judge, like, and if you've had abortions, wear bikinis. I have to say this. We love you. God loves you. He can save you from those sins. But again, that idea that like, oh, well, they weren't as Christian as we are. Like, give it a rest. But yeah, when they walked close to God, this country was that shining city on the hill. And then you've seen as we've started to move further and further away, we've basically just become a laughingstock to the rest of the world. Like,
yeah.
Unless a country just wants our money, then sure, they'll, you know, deal with us.
We're not really known for our Christian values anymore. Like, I think that light is definitely fading to the rest of the world. And it's a shame. It really is. And like, I don't know if God's going to restore our country. I don't know how it can turn around because it's just, we're just so anti-Christ. So immoral. And I don't know how you turn around and go back to wholesomeness after we've gone this far. It's got to be brought up. You have to bring up your children. It's got to be a new generation. And then they have to stick to wholesomeness and godliness. Like, we have just gone so far just within a few generations, like three generations, really. Like,
yeah,
my grandparents, man, like, their mind would be, I mean, I know they've seen how far, like, they've seen the most change.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you lived through the 1900s into the early 2000s and stuff.
I think we've been too pampered. We've been so spoiled. We haven't gone through any hard times. Just, we've been enabled to be lazy, honestly, and entitled. And I was just thinking on the Constitution. If you want to argue it wasn't from God, you're going to give man that much credit for thinking of something this good that lasted this long and that we don't elect a Caesar. We say the Constitution is Caesar. Like, no man can think of this idea. Like, that is from God. And it's our fault that it isn't being upheld. I mean, because we have wicked people electing wicked people who they know aren't going to uphold the Constitution. The people who elect them hate our Constitution.
Oh, they absolutely hate it.
And if you hate the Constitution, it's a blessing from God. I just don't understand how you can't see that, how you can't give the credit to God and see God's hand in the establishment of it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're a thoughtful person, and not just a God hater and stuff, it's hard not to see. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, they lay out that, you know, nature's law and nature's God, you know, right in the Declaration of Independence. So, but going back to the covenant idea that we have with God, I mean, we again pulled this from that same website, and here, can't think of the guy's name, but he says, "We have entered into an explicit covenant with God." There it is. They entered into a covenant with God. "We have drawn up indentures with the Almighty. Wherefore, if we succeed and do not let ourselves be diverted into making money," that's what America is all about today.
That's what's happened.
"He will reward us. Whereas if we fail, if we fall to embrace this present world and prosecute our carnal intentions, the Lord will surely break out in wrath and make us know the price of the breach of such a covenant." And I think we've definitely, like you talked about, we don't notice our blessings anymore. We've basically attached all of our blessings to zeros on our bank account statement.
Right.
If you got more zeros, you got more blessings. And we've lost sight of the fact that that wasn't the original intention of this country. Like the pilgrims, the founders, they didn't come to this country because they're like, boy, is it mineral rich and we can make a bunch of money. No, they came here because they were like, we want to serve God the way we want to serve God in this new land. And
right.
They understood blessing was healthy children, you know, good family relationships, mm-hmm. you know, the fruit of the spirit. Like these are all blessings from God. It's not just simply dollar signs and, mm-hmm. you know, zeros in your bank account. And somehow we've lost sight of all that, you know, if you're not being blessed financially or if you have sickness in your body somehow, that God's blessing isn't on us anymore. And largely it's because, like you said, we've turned away from this covenant with God. We've broken this covenant, and you may not even care about this covenant, right? You might be like, I don't give a crap about some covenant, but too bad, right? You were born into a country where its founders made a covenant with God. Much like when God and Abraham made that covenant, if you were an Israelite, after that, you were birthed into a covenant with God.
Right,
you didn't get a say anymore. It had already been done.
He kept his covenant with you because of your ancestors.
And then going down here, it says, historian Benjamin Hart says, "The U.S. Constitution has worked because there has been a sacred aura surrounding the document. It has been something more than a legal contract. It was a covenant, an oath before God, very much related to the covenant the pilgrims signed. Indeed, when the president takes his oath of office, he places his hand on a Bible and swears before Almighty God to uphold the Constitution of the United States. He makes a sacred promise, and the same holds true for the Supreme Court justices who take an oath to follow the letter of the written Constitution. The moment America's leaders begin treating the Constitution as though it were a mere sheet of paper is the moment the American Republic or American covenant ends." And we are living through the midst of that end of the American Republic in my eyes.
Yeah, because we know the covenant and we willingly break it. We can't say we're ignorant of it.
No.
Like we can't say we're ignorant of God's word and in what sin is and what repentance is in the gospel. We're willfully ignorant of both.
Yeah. We're quite literally, you know, willfully breaking our covenant with God. And we're willfully disobeying essentially Caesar that God established. And that's what they're saying. God established the Constitution. The Constitution is the rule in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we just dismiss it and we elect people who will dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, again, so that we can place all of our, things that belong to God in these false Caesar's hands, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our security, all those sorts of things. And you know, the result of breaking covenant with God, you know, you see it all through the Bible, you know, like she talked about when in this country, we've been blessed immensely. And just like in Israel, when they were blessed and the life was great, they always walked away, right? Continually. Mm-hmm. And when you're breaking covenant with God, it's not necessarily that God's punishing you per se, but he's turning his face away from you. You've walked away from him. You're no longer in his presence. And to not be in God's presence is to be in an evil place. Like where God isn't, there is simply evil.
Yeah, even unbelievers are blessed by the covenant made in this country. They are under that type of covenant of the blessing on America with our Constitution.
Absolutely, it's they are.
Really amazing. Like, they deny God, but God blesses them anyway, just because they're under it. They're an American.
Yeah, I mean, so it's shameful, but we just wanted to remind you guys, and I'm sure most of you know it, but, you know, just knowing it's not good enough. You got to have the confidence to walk in it, hold these people mm-hmm. accountable to it, because, yeah, change. We're not going to go back to being a blessed nation that walks in favor with God tomorrow. It right. took us generations to get to this point. It's going to take us generations to win this nation back. So, you know, like I know. They say a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And that's where we're at. You know, I don't even know that we've turned around yet to get back on the right path. I think mm-hmm. I've said that quote by C.S. Lewis before, where he says, I think it's a Mere Christianity maybe, but, you know, on the road to progress, if you come to a fork in the road and, you know, the right path is, I'm paraphrasing, of course, the right path is to the right and you go left. Progress isn't continuing down that wrong path. Progress is turning around and going back to the fork in the road. So the yeah. first person to turn around is the most progressive.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we've actually turned around to start going back to that fork in the road, but.
And everybody isn't going to turn around together. We're going to be divided. It's like we're going to split. That's what it seems like. Like there's too many people. Like we started out with few Americans and they are all one mind mostly. I mean, there's always a few, but now it's like we've just grown and we're not in one mind. We're so divided on, like I said, there's people who are just God deniers and God haters and don't want to admit where their blessings come from. So I don't know how we could turn around a whole country. I mean, we need to acknowledge what happened, where we came from, like why we are where we are today, but where do we go from here? We know individually we have to turn to God. We don't necessarily turn to the Constitution first. We turn to the one who gave it to us, because we can't put that above God. We're Christians before we're Americans. So should I'm be. Never saying anything like you're a Christian because you live in America. I don't want anybody to misquote me or misunderstand what I said, but you just fall under the American blessings, not necessarily all the blessings of God just because you live in this country. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how, if our country can turn around without being completely divided. That's the thing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have hope?
I mean, I don't think it takes a majority to turn a nation. I think it just takes a active and sort of in your face minority. And that's why we've been calling people forever, or not forever, but for a while now, like to start drawing these lines, to start setting yourself apart from mm-hmm. this country, because you can't convince people of God in this Christian way of life if your Christian way of life looks just like their secular antichrist way of life.
I know there's wolves in sheep's clothing, but we have a lot of sheep dressed up like wolves. They're confused. They're still trying to run with the wrong herd or pack. I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a Christian in, you know, a godly world or in a ungodly world and think that you're not going to be influenced. And I pulled up here. Yeah. I was what was it, 1 Timothy chapter 6, where he kind of talks about false teachers and true contentment. And I don't know that it fits 100%, but it stuck out to me when I was kind of reading through, you know, these false Caesars and stuff that we've elected. Because he says, teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine, and I thought more importantly, does not agree with sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Then I think he says, let me see.
I think the rest of that sounds good too.
Yeah. He's puffed up. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant frictions among people who are depraved of mind and depraved of the truth. Imagining that godliness is a means of gain, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world, but if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And then that's where he talks about, for the love of money is all evil, or is all kinds of evil. So I just thought, like, I don't know, to me, I was just kind of reading through like these false Caesars and these antichrists, and like, these are these people that we have, that we've elected, that don't agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's kind of how you can know who these people are. Cause we've talked on this episode or on this show before about, you know, godly leaders and antichrist leaders. And, you know, part of turning this nation back is getting godly leaders back in charge of this country that are going to adhere to the document God gave us to govern this nation. And
so step one, it's like we need a blueprint to turn around. Step one, repent and pray for God to make a way to turn things around. And it's not just for our good. It's for the good of the nation. It's not a selfish thing. We know that God's blessings fall on all people when we have godly leaders, those who uphold the Constitution. So, I mean, it's a bonus. Was it
John Calvin, I think, that said, you know, when God judges a nation, he gives them bad leaders or something like that. So it's kind of hard not to hear that and think we're being judged.
It's like we're not being judged because it's like it's a sin issue. Like, the leaders aren't really the cause. We caused it because of our sin.
We definitely did.
Yeah. We can't blame them. It's like we have to repent. We can't blame it on them.
No, I mean, our national leaders and all of our leaders are a reflection of who we are. So if we have bad, antichrist, ungodly leaders, I mean, what kind of people are we?
So, I know other nations aren't going to say, oh, those poor Americans. Like, no, that's who they elected. That's what they want.
Yep. So that's all we wanted to get out today. Just to, again, remind you guys that our Constitution is Caesar in this country, not the elected politicians who are supposed to uphold that document.
Right.
And that document was given to us, again, by a higher power, and that being God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not just some mysterious God in the sky, a very specific God.
Right.
And, you know, until we start, you know, demanding that, you know, these leaders that we elect adhere to that, basically make themselves subject to that, I don't know that we're ever going to get back into a blessed state in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it starts with us, as always. Everything starts with us, starts with you. So we'd love to hear what you guys have to say on this.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really good discussion. I think a lot of Christians, you know, like you said, they've just given up and said, oh, like, we need to remind them. This is important for them to understand this.
God can bless us in more ways than dollars. So
yeah,
just remind yourself of that. So that's all. Do you have any last thoughts on this?
Nope.
All right. Stick around for Saturday. The news has been nuts this week. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all the crazy news stories that have happened. And who knows, maybe Mars Hill will ever come out with another episode and we'll review it. And then people will yell at us as they always do. But that is all we got for you guys today. God bless.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.